This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, joined now by Brian Errett, the director of Valley Senior Services, and he joins us to talk about how things have changed because of the pandemic. Brian, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Doug.
For our listeners, how would you describe the mission of Valley Senior Services?
You know, the mission of Valley Senior Services is to help older people continue living independently in their home as late in life as possible. So everything we do is kind of focused on that. We want to help people to continue living where they want. You know, and if you talk with older people, most of them say, I want to stay in my home as long as I can stay in my home. So everything we do is focused that way.
What is your service area?
We provide services in six counties in southeastern North Dakota. So Trail and Steele County to the north, Cass County right in the middle, and then Richland, Ransom, and Sargent counties to the south.
So how many seniors are among the people you serve right now?
You know, the total population of people, and our services are essentially for people 60 and older, which is an age limit set by the Administration on Aging, federal government. But there is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 people in that six-county area that qualify for our services. I think in terms of the number we serve, you know, we do Meals on Wheels and meals at senior centers and transportation and a little bit of case management services. And we probably serve about, 3,000 or 4,000 people a year, somewhere in that ballpark.
The pandemic has turned a lot of things topsy-turvy. How has it affected the services of Valley Senior Services?
You know, the big impact for us, of course, is that seniors are one of the at-risk populations. You know, they're a group of people that have, for the most part, pre-existing conditions, don't have, you know, quite the reserve capacity or ability to bounce back if they get sick, so they have to be careful. And we, providing services to them, have to be, you know, equally as careful. So the impact's been fairly significant. You know, we do meals at senior centers, but those meals have kind of ground to a halt ever since mid-March. So instead of serving meals at any of the 35 different locations, we do meals in southeastern North Dakota. We invite people to stop by and pick up a takeout meal, a to-go meal, and we package all of our meals that way. And probably somewhere around 75% of the people that have traditionally eaten with us are taking advantage of this takeout meal thing. On the other side, you know, we deliver meals through the Home Delivered Meals or Meals on Wheels program. And the numbers for that program have gone up by about 20%. You know, so some of the people that were doing takeout meals are now having meals delivered to them. A lot of people who just aren't comfortable going out to restaurants or aren't able to go grocery shopping, for whatever reason, have chosen to start receiving Meals on Wheels. So it's increased our number of meals, you know, like I said, by about 20%.
And where are these meals prepared?
You know, we have kind of a Duke's mixture of how we get meals prepared. In Fargo, we work with NDSU. Residence Dining Center at NDSU prepares all the meals that we use at our meal sites in Fargo and for Meals on Wheels. We also have a kitchen in West Fargo at the West Fargo High Rise that does meals for people living in the West Fargo area and Castleton. And then when you go out into the other counties that we serve, we have meal sites at senior centers in Hillsboro and Lisbon and Wahpeton. And we contract with restaurants in some towns. We have tiny kitchens, you know, that do 15 meals a day or something like that in some of the smaller towns. So we kind of do it any way we have to, you know, to make sure that the meals are available for people in rural areas as well as the urban area.
For some of these people, is this the meal of the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say for most of the people that take part in our meals program. You know, seniors don't have as big of an appetite as younger people. I mean, they're not as active. They're not doing quite as much during the day. So my experience, anyway, has been that older people might eat something light for breakfast, And then if they come in and have this meal, or if Meals on Wheels is delivered for them, they maybe will eat a portion of it, maybe half of it, or a little bit better for lunch, and they'll save some for the evening part of their meal. I'd say this is a significant part of their diet, day in and day out.
You mentioned that the senior sitterns are not necessarily open or operating for congregate dining. How does that affect the community you serve?
You know, it's tough. I mean, it really is tough. There is a gentleman I just talked with this morning. He comes in here every day to pick up his meal, you know, and I asked him how he's doing, and he got kind of a serious look in his eye, and he said, you know, it's just not the same. I don't get to see my friends. I don't get to play cards with the guys that I play cards with. We don't get to shoot the breeze. So to me, that's just an example. That's a snippet of what people are experiencing, and kind of the remoteness, the loneliness, the lack of social contact that has disappeared, you know, as a result of us not being able to allow people to congregate. And I think that stretches across to even people that are on Meals on Wheels. You know, we've asked our volunteers to be really careful, you know, to wear masks and gloves, and we have asked the seniors that get meals to maybe put a bench or a chair out on their steps so we can leave it there rather than going into their house. We still make contact, but it's, you know, from a distance. And I know that some of the people that get Meals on Wheels really look forward to the volunteer. It's the only person they see during the day. It's not the same talking to somebody through a mask at a distance as having somebody closer that you can visit with and see the twinkle in their eye. So it's a challenge.
It's a reminder that some people really are by themselves. They're isolated, and that this particular health emergency exacerbates that to the nth degree.
Yeah, there's no question. I'd say, you know, probably 90% of the people we bring meals to live alone. I mean, there certainly are couples that get Meals on Wheels, but for the most part, it's people living alone, and mainly older women. Probably two-thirds of our people on Meals on Wheels are female. The person that brings their meal, in many cases, is the only person they see during the day. You know, so besides being a nutritional outlet, it's kind of a little bit of a social outlet, and it's an opportunity for us to make sure the person is okay. You know, so we can make sure that their health is okay.
Do you need volunteers?
Doug, thank you for asking. Yes, we're always looking for volunteers. When this whole COVID thing started happening, we probably lost about a third of our volunteers. You know, we had a number of special needs kids who, with their staff, would help deliver Meals on Wheels. They had to pull back. Number of retired folk, you know, some, again, with pre-existing conditions that had to pull back. And we kind of put out, you know, an all-points bulletin inviting people to come and help deliver Meals on Wheels, whether it's daily or once a week or every other week or something like that. And had a number of people, you know, who were not doing anything else because work had shut down for them, step up to help fill the void. Some of them are now starting to drift back to work, you know, and so we're starting to experience a little bit of a drop-off in our volunteers. So we're really kind of beating the bushes, hoping we can get some people to come and help us. And, you know, the job for delivering Meals on Wheels isn't real complicated. I mean, it's stop by the senior center if you're living in a small town in the region, or come by one of the different distribution sites in Fargo or West Fargo. Pick up a route that generally has 10 or 12 stops on it. Go from door to door, knock on the door, say Meals on Wheels, make sure the person's okay, and then move on to the next stop. And it probably takes about 45 minutes to do a route.
Well, I've got a friend on Facebook and otherwise who often writes about his experience with Meals on Wheels and how it feels to do it. He gets a lot of satisfaction out of helping people. Brian Arrett is the director of Valley Senior Services, and we're talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected those services. Do you keep the resource specialists busy? Do you get a lot of calls for people who just need help?
You know, the whole job for a resource specialist is to go out into people's homes, and they're not able to do that now. So we're trying to do things over the phone and in a more remote sort of way. But their job is to go out to people's homes and to help them understand our services, first of all. You know, so to explain to them all the stuff we've been talking about and how to access, whether it's meals at a senior center or Meals on Wheels or transportation, you know, how to take advantage of those services. But they also do kind of an assessment. You know, they figure out what other needs this person might have in life. So if they need some help with homemaking, housekeeping services, they'll help connect them with that. If they're having trouble affording medications, they might hook them up with the prescription assistance plan or whatever myriad types of financial or social service types of needs they might have. The job of the resource specialist is to go into a person's home, provide information about what we do, and then assess a person's need and hook them up then with whatever other services they might need to keep living in their homes independently. So it all kind of fits back with our mission.
You talked about the vulnerability of this population. They're vulnerable in other ways, too, and scams come to mind, taking advantage of people who are isolated, lonely, want to reach out and help in their own ways sometimes, but they are vulnerable to fraud and, you know, the abuse that some people who are unprincipled will will do.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point, Doug. I mean, incredibly good point. And we have a monthly newsletter we put out called The Silver Quill that we distribute throughout the region. And every month we put something in about a scam or a fraud or what's the kind of current thing that's happening. And of course, there's a scam right now about coronavirus and about COVID, trying to get, you know, somebody's bank account or their social security number or credit card number to order a product that, you know, they really don't need. And then to commit fraud. And it's just sad. And older people, of course, are more at risk. They're more trusting. Maybe they're a little bit lonely and they want to listen to somebody on the phone and they want to believe that this person really wants to help them. So we're constantly reminding people to be careful, to not be quite as trusting with giving out personal information.
How are you funded?
We receive funding from a variety of sources. Our annual budget's about $5 million. We receive some funding through what's called the Older Americans Act, which is federal legislation that happened way back in the 60s to provide nutrition services and social services and other supportive services for the elderly to help them keep living in their homes. Probably, a fourth of our funding comes through the Older Americans Act. We receive a little bit of funding from the state of North Dakota. They are required to provide match for the Older Americans Act dollars to come into the state. So probably another 10% or so comes through the state of North Dakota matching funds. Receive some funding from each of the counties we're in. The North Dakota legislature authorized counties to levy up to $1 million for senior programming, and each of the counties we're in levy that $1 million. So that ends up being another probably 30% of our funds. The people that use our services, we invite them to make donations towards the cost of meals. We're not allowed to charge a fee. That's part of the Older Americans Act, so we invite them to make a donation. And that's about a fourth of our funding. And then we receive some funding through the Federal Transit Administration for the transportation stuff we do, again, with some match from the state of North Dakota. And then finally, we write grants and solicit donations on Giving Hearts Day and try to work with people to help them understand the value and the need for what we do. And we're fairly successful, you know, working with individuals that way.
Was there any assistance from the CARES Act for what you do?
Yeah, actually, there was quite a bit of funds that were distributed throughout the country, including in the state of North Dakota, through the CARES Act and the Families First Act. So we are receiving some supplemental dollars during the coronavirus. That's probably going to stretch into the month of September for us. That's helping to pay for some of the increased costs with the additional meals we're doing, the increased packaging requirements. So So yeah, that was very helpful as well. We'd really be struggling right now if it weren't for those two pieces of legislation.
Brian Arrett is Director of Valley Senior Services. Find out more about what they do at valleyseniorservices.org. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Doug, thanks for having me on. It's great talking with you. I wish you and everybody at Prairie Public well.